Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
Let's do something real quick. Can we go to John 14, verse number 23? Right, just want to continue on something that Pastor Mike was saying, and then we're going to go right into what the Lord wants to continue to speak, right? It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Right? Who are the people that he's talking about that are going to come into us? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love. So he's talking about himself. And then he says, and my Father will love him, and we. Who are the we? Right? The Father and the Son is the we, right? Right? And they're going to come and they're going to make their home in us. Now, the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of what? Of your house or of the Father? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Father is seated on his throne. How do they live in you? Right? By their spirit, right? It's not hard to understand, right? It's just that when we stick a word in our head and we believe something for 25 years, you know, and somebody says something to you, it just racks your brain and you're like, oh, that can't be true. I believe this forever. That can't be true. Right? But what makes it not true? Is it just because it goes against what we know? I mean, God forbid the day, and I just pray that with all my heart, God forbid the day that I would stop believing something because it doesn't jive with what I know, because I don't know everything. The spirit in me knows everything, but I don't know everything. So God forbid that everything that God tells me, I would look to see, is that what I believe? Right? I want to believe what he says. I don't want to believe it. You know, it's just such, I'll tell you, it's such a refreshing thing for years and years and years and years. I told the Lord, even when I was such a baby Christian, I had snot running down my nose. And I told the Lord, I said, all I want to be able to do, Lord, is just be able to know what you say. I mean, I just want to, for years, I've just always wanted to get rid of all of the garbage and all the fluff, and I just want to just know the truth, Lord. I'm so tired of people telling me their opinions and what they think and what they've believed and what so-and-so theologian said. I mean, honestly, you know, I thank God for all of the things that theologians have written and things, you know, and for all the things that are true that they have written down. But my God, thank you, Lord, that we have the Spirit of God that leads us into all truth. We are not, you know, what is one of the harmful things that can come from believing the Trinity? Because you can say, well, Pastor Mike, I don't know. I mean, man, what you said and what the Trinity, people that believe the Trinity, I mean, that's basically the same thing. It's not the same thing, and it's hurtful. And I'll tell you two things right off the top that are hurtful believing that, right, is that you exclude yourself. Right, so what we showed you from John 17, and this was one of the things the Lord had mentioned on Friday, like we said, is that you have this exact same spirit, right? The spirit that is theirs is on the inside of you. And for you not to acknowledge that you are one with the Father and one with the Son, right, eliminates a unity in your mind that you should know and be very well acquainted with, right? You should know that the same unity that you have with the Father is the same unity that Christ has with the Father, and you are united with the Son the same way that you share in that unity and the knowledge of that unity and what you have, right? Christ came to bring you something that people depreciate in a great way, right? And it shouldn't be depreciated. What you have should not be put down because people believe that it's sacrilegious. I mean, it should just be that we should just know the truth, and when you would see that good news, you'd say, my God, all this time, all this, I mean, I have a unity with the Father that I've never really truly acknowledged in my life. Why? Because we're hung up on terms and stuff and dumb words and things, you know. Let me show you another one. Let me show you another one. John 16, just two chapters later, John 16 and verse number 26. Because what's another thing that causes problems with the Trinity? That people don't know who the heck they're supposed to pray to. Do I say Holy Spirit at the end of the prayer? Do I pray to the Son? Do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to the Father? Do I pray to the Son in the name of the Holy Spirit? Do I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus? Do I pray to Jesus in the name of the Father? We don't know who we're supposed to pray to. But that's a problem, because if you tell me I got three gods, I should be able to choose any of them, right? Just choose one. And you're right. And so people say, you know what? I'm just going to forget it. And listen, I know you've said this in your head. If I say Jesus, if I say God, I'm not going to bother myself anymore, because they're the same, so it don't matter. If I pray to Jesus or I pray to God, it doesn't matter. Look, he says, at that day, speaking of the day that we'll receive his Spirit, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. He says, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. You know how awesome that is, that we could, why does Jesus say to pray in his name? And that's a whole separate, you know, whole separate service. And, you know, we have a sermon on that, you know, from several services ago called, you know, the name of Jesus, right? But we think that the name of Jesus is like an end to every prayer. We don't know what it means. We just know that we have to say in the name of Jesus. And that when you don't hear somebody on TV say in Jesus' name, you say, see, they don't like to say Jesus. But you don't even know why. You just think that it's something that has to be said. And if somebody, you don't have to say in Jesus' name. You could just say amen if you want. Amen's, people don't even know what amen means, or even what that means. They just say amen and they think it's an English word, right? It means so be it. So be it, right? So be it. So when you pray something, you say, so be it. But why does he say to pray in his name? Because it's to pray in the knowledge of who he is. You cannot pray and receive anything if you don't know who God is, right? So the Son reveals himself to us so that we would know who the Father is. Jesus did not come to bring glory unto himself. He came to reveal the Father unto men so that men would know. And how did he do that? Because he is the exact representation of the Father, right? He told them, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And Philip said, well, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. He said, have I been with you so long and yet you don't know who I am, right? So why is he saying that? Because if you see him, they have the same glory. They have the same glory. But here's what's awesome. That the Bible also says that you have been glorified. That because you have been sanctified, you have been glorified. And that's what Pastor Mike was talking about when he says the glory that you have received, right? And Jesus said, the glory that I have received, I have given unto them. Like, what is that? You know, is that some kind of a substance? You know, some kind of foamy substance that we like inhale through our mouth and then we receive that glory? It's the same Spirit, right? We have the same Spirit, the same glory that they have. Now let me show you this so we can see. Have you ever heard, and I'm not even going to say that in the past I haven't said it or that it hadn't been heard before, but have you ever heard it said, the same power that conquered the grave lives in me? Right? And you say, well, oh, don't get on that, because, right, we have the same power. You just said it yourself, that we have the same Spirit, right? The same power. But here's the problem. How was the grave conquered? Right? How was the grave conquered? Because the grave, right, means death. We read in Ezekiel 37, around verse number 12, right, that it says, speaking about the valley of dead bones, right, that Jesus, speaking to the Jewish people, the Lord speaking to the Jewish people, says, right, it's written in Scripture by the prophet, and it was spoken by the prophet Ezekiel to them so that they would hear. And he says, tell them, those, the Jews that believe that their hope is lost, that they have, you know, that they've gone too far, that they have been cut off. He says, let them know, he says, that I will open up the graves and I will cause them to come out of their graves. And he says, and they will live, right? And the way that he said that is the life. Let's just read that real quick. Let's go there. Ezekiel 37. You know what's really cool? That when you really start getting accustomed to allowing the Spirit of the Lord to teach you, right, for him to be the teacher, it throws out that thing where you do that comparison against what you believe. You just say, Holy Spirit, it's your job. It's my truth is not my job. Truth is your job. You're the one that will lead me into all truth. If I could lead myself into all truth, I wouldn't need you, right? So, because I don't lead myself into truth, but you lead me into truth, I don't have to try to compare it to what I believe. And if it contradicts what I believe, then I'm going to be a little skeptical, right? The Lord doesn't, he's not looking for our skepticism. He's looking for us to listen, Listen, not to listen to Pastor Hosea, listen to Pastor Mike, or listen to Pastor whoever, or listen to evangelist this one, or listen to prophet that. He wants you to listen to him. You know why? Because if you get accustomed to allowing the Spirit of God to bear witness with what the truth is, and I'm not saying you're a queasy stomach, I'm saying allowing the Holy Spirit to show you and teach you what is true, right? Then what will happen is, you know what? You'll begin to know, you know, you'll sit somewhere and you'll listen to anything. You could listen to something that's not even godly, something that's just some movie, some worldly thing, right? And the awesome thing is by the Spirit of God, he just makes you to know, right? You have the Spirit of God so that you would know. And if you get credit to the Spirit of God that you have on the inside of you, and you learn by in time and with practice to be able to listen to what he's saying, you wouldn't be confused. You know how hurtful it is? And I've had somebody tell me this in the past, and I feel so bad for them, right? I heard this person tell me this, you know, I'm so confused. You know how bad that is? You know how bad I feel that someone that has the Spirit of God on the inside of them can be so confused? You know what brings confusion? The Spirit of God never brings confusion. You know what brings confusion? Listening to men brings confusion. Because you could go to seven churches and you're going to hear seven things. And you're going to go and you turn on seven different evangelists. You're going to hear seven different twists. But thank God we have the Spirit of God. We are not people that have been made to not be sure. We are not people that have been made in such a way that we cannot know. We can know. We just have to be. It's good. Obviously, I'm going to tell you, it is good to be taught right. It is awesome to be taught right. And the Lord told us years ago, prophesied in 1999 over us, that the Lord, he said, has would put on the inside of us, he said, from the inside of us, right, a necessary message. He said, not a popular message, but a necessary one, right? Necessary one. And for years, I didn't know what it was. And all this time, it's just simply the gospel, right? The gospel. And you say, well, how in the world can the gospel not be popular? Well, it's not popularly taught today. It's not popularly taught today. Today, people are just trying to be user-friendly and show you how everything is applicable to you and with analogies. And like Pastor Mike was talking about, using eggs and things and ladders and movies. And, you know, you can come in and they can show you with Star Wars, you know, how that applies to you and all this stuff. But you know what? We don't have to look at the world to know God. God can explain himself. He doesn't have to look at the world and use examples in the world so that you would know. Contrary to popular belief, Jesus did not talk to the Jews, right, using farming analogies just because they were farmers and it was the only way that they could understand. That's not true, right? He talked to them in parables because he said, seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear. And to the ones that had faith in him, he said to them, I will stop speaking to you in parables and I will speak to you plainly. Jesus is not mysterious where he's in you. And he's like, some people think that that's kind of like the Spirit of God, how the Spirit of God works in them. It's like the Riddler, you know? It's like the Riddler. He tells you little riddles and you have to figure them out. Like, oh, that's so deep, man. The Lord told me that the sky is blue in the midnight west. Wow. What the heck does that mean? It's so deep and you write it down, right? That God speaks to you plainly. If God can't teach you, if God can't teach you, nobody can teach you. If the Spirit of God, who is the teacher, cannot teach you, then you forget it. All hope is lost. Nobody can teach you. But thank God that we have him. Thank God that we have the teacher. So he says in Ezekiel 37 and verse number 12, look at what he says. He says, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus, and sorry, can we go to the AKJV just if you haven't already? You're probably already there anyway. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus said the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now, there is a lot of explanation that can go into this, and there's a lot of past messages that you can hear on this, but what he says there, he says, I will open up your graves, number one. So that means he is going to, Jesus came to defeat death. So that's one thing that had to occur, right? He needed to defeat death. And then he says, after I have defeated death, he says, I will cause you to come up out of your graves. So that means that someone who was dead is going to live. So first he's going to open up the grave. So that means that they can come out, right? In other words, death is no longer a hold. I will open up your graves means death will no longer hold you. Right? Death no longer holds you. And what is really tied to that very closely, right, is that sin and death, right? Sin and death reign together, right? Sin and death reign together. And they're dependent on one another, right? And that's the very thing that Jesus came to destroy. The works of the devil is sin and death, right? It says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. I'll tell you this. I don't really believe that the church in its entirety believes that Jesus did destroy the works of the devil. because they're still binding him and they're still casting him out and they're still I don't have a problem with the devil being cast out of an individual that can be occupied by the devil, but they're casting the devil out of themselves, right? They're casting the devil out of other Christians, right? And that's a problem. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about ourselves. We do a lot of devil fighting. Yet Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. So what must have happened is that he left and didn't finish, right? Because he came to destroy the works of the devil, but since we're still fighting him, that means that he really didn't. But actually, your Bible says that he made a show of them openly. The victory of Christ on the cross against sin and death was completely victorious and finished. It was done. There's nothing to be left to do about sin and death. It is done. It's complete. Totally finished. So he destroyed death, and then he says, then I will cause you to come up out of your graves, which is life, right? The Lord has to give us life somehow. But just can you do this? And I know it may seem redundant to go over this, or kind of simplistic, but you do understand that before you can have life, right, death has to lose its hold, right? You can't have life without destroying death, right? It's just before, if you're still bound by death, you cannot have life because death is your master, right? But if death is destroyed, then you can have life. And then he says, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. The land that they're talking about there, that land, right, the land that is theirs is also called, right, the land of Canaan, which what it's talking about is a symbol or a shadow of the new age, right? In other words, where Christ reigns, the kingdom of heaven, which he put on the inside of us. So let me show you a little something more here. Let's go to, can we go to Romans chapter 4? Romans 4:13. Look at what it says. It says, for the promise, and this is speaking about Abraham, right? For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, that he would inherit the world, that the promise that he would be an heir of the world. Now that also, obviously, is another picture of the new age, right? The earth. The Lord says that this earth, in other words, there's going to come a point where this earth, right, will be, we will live outwardly, right, the kingdom of God, and Jesus will reign, and the knowledge, the glory of the Lord will fill the earth, right? And that's the new age, right? Where you'll possess a heavenly body, right? Now, in that day, it says, this is the same thing that it was talking about to Abraham, right? To Abraham, it says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but this is important, but through the righteousness of faith. And I'll tie these things together. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, what that means is if I can keep the law and become an heir of the kingdom of heaven, then that means that actually by my works I can earn, right, that power to be a joint heir with Christ, right? I can inherit all that Christ has just from keeping a law. And a law means deeds, in other words, right? The law says, don't murder, so I'll spend the rest of my life and I will not murder. And I'll keep all of the commandments of God, and if I do that, then I can be a joint heir with Christ. And the Bible says, obviously, that it's ridiculous, that there is no man, right? It isn't possible to become righteous through the law. It's not possible to do, right? But look at what he says. So he says there, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law works wrath. The law works wrath, right? In other words, when you break the law, breaking the law, right? The wages of sin is death, right? So breaking the law is sin, and death is the end result of breaking a law, right? So he says, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, look at verse 16. Therefore, it says, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end. It says, to the end the promise might be sure to all seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So let me just show you a couple things here. So we were just talking from Ezekiel that first there needs to be an opening of the grave, then there has to be a coming out of the grave, right? Life. life. So first there is a victory over death, hell, and the grave. Then there is life. Now here's the thing that I was telling you before. How was it when we say that term about the same power that conquered the grave lives in me, right? So we're referring to the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit rose Christ from the dead, right? The Holy Spirit, right, in a manner of speaking, was not the one that conquered death, right? Was not the one that conquered death. Let me just show you that. Matthew 27, I believe, and we'll come back to what I just read in Romans chapter 4. I'm just trying to give you a lot of background and then to be able to get to this. But Matthew 27 and verse number 50. So we said that the graves being opened means that death is conquered. Can we understand this? If death is not conquered, then the grave's not open, right? If death has to be conquered in order for a grave to be open, for death to be overcome, right? So verse 50 says, and Jesus, when he had cried again, he's on the cross. When he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. What did he yield up? His spirit, right? So what does that mean? What just happened to him? If he yielded up his spirit, something happened. He died, right? If he yielded up his spirit, it means he died, right? So Jesus went, when he had cried, and actually, can you come down? Can you bring up verse 46 to the top? It says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. It says, that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? So something happened there, right? The unity that he had with the Father, right, he lost. He felt abandoned by the Father, forsaken by the Lord, right? Forsaken by his Father. So something happened there, right? And what happened there is that he, who never had known sin before, right? Never had sinned, no sin before, and possessed, he was righteous, right? Was righteous, right? Was righteous, and because he was righteous, right, he had always, the Father was always with him. He had never known that separation, right? But here's what happened. Him who knew no sin, what does your Bible say? What happened next? He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. So that what? So that we could become the righteousness of God. Watch. So here he says, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they had heard this, they thought it was talking to Elijah. And it says, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge. Let's go up to verse 50 now, right? Verse 50, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost, he died. And behold, the veil of the temple, which the Bible says is his flesh, right? The veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent also, and the graves were opened. So we can think that it's not important. What's wrong? If you were actually to Google the same power that conquered the grave lives in me, you know what you're going to find? Jeremy Camp's song. Yeah, not a verse. You can say Bible verse that says the same power that conquered the grave lives in me, and you're not going to find a verse. You're going to find people's music. Right? You're going to find a Hillsong song also in a couple of things. It's not that all of their music is bad. It's just that the lines that we say lead people to an erroneous understanding. Listen, the most important thing, and this is something that the Lord said on Friday too, which I think is critical, right? And it's something that we've heard before. The most important thing for us to know is what Christ accomplished for you. Please understand this. If we don't know that on the cross, death was conquered, do we think that's a little important that on the cross death was destroyed? And we say, well, come on. Yeah, I mean, I hear you saying that. I know that. No, you don't know that. Because I said the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. And everybody, if I would have said it in a nice tone, would have agreed with that, right? So no, we don't know that. Because we don't see the Spirit of God on the inside would say, nope, that's not right. That's not right. And we think, well, come on, you're mincing words. I mean, can't we say the same power that is awesome of Jesus lives in me? Yes, but it's not the power that conquered the grave, right? The Holy Spirit didn't conquer the grave. The sacrifice of Jesus conquered the grave. And that's an awesome, important thing for you to understand. Because when you know how, you don't just think or have mental assent that death was conquered. Because if you just have mental assent for it, you experience death and you actually don't, you don't receive what he did because you don't know how it happened. So because you can't be assured that death is really conquered, when somebody tells you you're going to die, you say, well, I guess the doctor knows what he's saying, right? Because he says, I'm going to die, so it must be true. I have to die. But what did he say? My people die, they perish. In Hosea, he said that, right? My people perish because of what? Lack of knowledge, not because they don't have a spirit that can give, that has given them life already. Jesus said, I came to give them what? Life, to bring them life and life abundantly. Life is the opposite of death. He came to bring that life. Why is it that people have such a hard time receiving from the life of God that is on the inside of them? Two things. The second one we're going to touch in a second. But the primary one is they don't know how death was conquered. And if we don't know how death was conquered and what that even means, right? Because how was the grave open? Because you're reading how it happened, right? He died and the grave was open. But why is it that his death, why is it that the death of Jesus, who knew no sin, destroys sin and death in my life? Why is that true, right? Why is that? Because he who knew no sin became sin. So if he didn't know sin, whose sin did he become? He who knew no sin became sin. Not his own, right? Not his own, because he just said he knew no sin. So whose sin did he take? Our sin. And not just our sins, but the sins of the world. Now you see the magnitude of it? The sins of the world he took. The sins of the world. The sins of my son who's a drug addict. The sins of the world. The sin of the prostitute that lives in Manhattan. The sins of the world. That prostitute is not going to hell, right? And it's not, actually, to say it right, not going to the lake of fire because she's a prostitute. She's going to, she's dying because she don't know. That's why she's going, right? The world is not suffering because they're bad people, right? The world is suffering because they don't know what Jesus did for them, not for us. Right? We're not talking about what Jesus did for the church. We're talking about what Jesus did for this world. The magnitude of what he did. He delivered the world from death. That's an enormous, huge, big, fat thing. Right? He delivered the world from death. So the question is then, does the world or us need to live as death reigning over us? The Bible says that where is the sting of death? That death has been conquered. That the only way that death stays alive, right, is because of sin, right? In other words, the power of sin is the law. And we know that there is no law, right? Because you're no longer subject to that law, right? So when we look at that, look what he says. Let me just show you something. This is hugely important. Romans 8, look at verse number 10. Because something happened, right? So the grave was opened. The grave was opened. And we know how it was opened. On the cross, the graves were opened. Death was overcome, right? Death was the work of the devil was destroyed. So how do we come up out of the grave? Because isn't that where so many people live? The grave is open. Jesus is in you. But why don't we experience the coming out of the grave, right? Why is there so many people still in the grave with the door open, right? Why are we still experiencing death as though it has a hold? Listen, because I'm going to tell you something. The majority of people, and I'm not saying you, but the majority of people that hear the word cancer has such a power connotation in your mind that you say that is the most horrible thing that could ever be said to me, and it overpowers, overwhelms you, depresses you, and you die within days. Why? Because it's the power that we think it has. We don't believe that death has been conquered. We believe that death is still very much at work and can destroy us. Just because it's death and it's so powerful. But the understanding, can I tell you, the understanding of what he did. The understanding of what he did. The church would stop arguing over whether healing is true, whether miracles died out with the apostle. Blah, blah, blah. Right? Why? It's just a lack of not knowing. And because we don't know, we continue to spread and talk about things that are not true. And we have services and church services after church services where we don't even show people the word of God, right? We don't speak the word of God. We don't show people Bible verses. And instead, we just speak about a bunch of stuff. Just talk about a lot of opinions and a lot of things. But we leave people empty where they can't see, right? It's so important to know what he did. What did Jesus accomplish on the cross? He destroyed death. So the graves are open. So death, if we, obviously not everything, even though you're hearing it, it's going to be crystal clear right now, but if you can accept that Death has been destroyed. The work of the devil is destroyed. Then the, what comes next is coming out of the grave, right? Coming out of the grave. How does that happen? Coming out of the grave, which is what? Life. If you come out of when Lazarus rose up, what did he receive? He had life. He was dead, and then he received life. But why is that? Because the one who is the resurrection was standing right there, right? So watch. So verse number 10, Romans 8, 10. And if Christ be in you, I'm sorry, because it's hard to get off that point, right? Who's in you? Christ, right? I thought it was the person of the Holy Spirit, right? You see the problem, right? That if the Holy Spirit is not the Spirit of Christ, then what the heck does that mean? If Christ be in you, right? Oh, there's two in me now. It's the Holy Spirit on the left, and it's Christ on the right. And it is, Christ has to be on the right because he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So he has to be on my right side, right? Because we make stuff up like that because it sounds cool, right? But it's just not true. But he says, and if Christ be in you, look at what happens. The body is dead because of sin. And the body is dead. The body was put to rest. And that's speaking of circumcision also. But the body is dead because of sin. But look at what it says. But the Spirit is life, and it gives you a reason. The Spirit that you have on the inside of you, look at what it says. The Spirit that you have on the inside of you is life, and he gives you a reason. The Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. So hold on. So he who knew no sin became sin, right? The Father smote the Son, right? The Father smote the Son, right? So the Father himself crucified your sin and condemned it in the body of Jesus, right? Your sin. I wonder if we should still be asking the Lord to forgive us, because we don't even know if we're forgiven yet, right? The magnitude of what we did. We don't think this stuff is very important sometimes, but Christians are still asking God to forgive them. Christians that have the Spirit of God already on the inside of them. Listen, if you're not forgiven, you don't have his Spirit, because you're not righteous, right? You can't be unforgiven and righteous at the same time, people, right? You can't, if you're not forgiven, you're not righteous. And if you're not righteous, you don't have the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have life. The Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. If you're not righteous, but what's the way people say that? Well, you can kind of lose your righteousness. Well, if you lose your righteousness, you lose the Spirit, right? You lose the Spirit because he came to live in you, right? The Spirit of God came to live in you. Why? Because of righteousness, right? Because of righteousness. Because here's what happened. You'll remember the parable of the seed and the sower, right? What is the first thing? In other words, think about this with me. When you begin to hear the gospel, what's the first thing that happens? The Holy Spirit rushes into you, right? No. You hear. You don't have nobody on the inside of you, right? It's just you, right? And what's happening? You hear. You begin to hear, right? And it says that unfortunately some people that begin to hear don't have the Holy Spirit yet, right? But they just begin to believe. And some of them give up halfway. And they're like, you know what? This stuff doesn't work. I'm having problems and this is doing me no good. And they just stop, right? But there are people that continue and they continue to believe. And here's why it's so important, right? Why is it that the Lord makes such an emphasis on hearing? Why is that so critically important? I mean, the first thing is because that's how you were saved. You began to hear the gospel, right? In other words, the Lord says, how can they believe, right, if they're not told? And how can they hear without a preacher? You know what that, a preacher does not mean like me, even though I am a preacher, right? A preacher is a herald, one that speaks, right? One that speaks the word of God, right? So what that means is then, why is hearing so important? Because that's how faith comes, right? Faith comes by hearing. And all of the men of old, right? All of the great evangelists that have passed, even in our day, right? That are not here anymore with us, that have taught that faith comes by hearing. It's entirely correct, right? Faith comes by hearing. Now, they have a different understanding of what the word of God is. They believe the Bible is the word of God, right? Right. But that's just that's a misconception. The Bible is scripture. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. My Bible isn't alive. The word in me is alive. The one who speaks in me, he's the one that's alive, right? Because all you got to do is tell people, is your Bible alive or the Holy Spirit in you alive? Which one is alive? Okay, the Holy Spirit is alive. So who's the word, right? Right? He speaks the word to us, right? And that's alive. And his word, he said his word, even Jesus corrected that, right? Even for people that believe that the word is the Bible, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life, right? Obviously, it's not the Bible. Now the Spirit of God on the inside of you will never speak anything contrary to what he's written in scripture, right? But that's a good thing. So here's what happens. So he says, we're reading from, let's read verse number 10 again. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit, and here's the verse where they actually get that whole, you know, the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. Here's where it is. But if the spirit of him, the spirit of Christ, right, the spirit of God. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. So what was it that the spirit did? The spirit raised up Christ from the dead. So the graves were open. But can I just say this though, real quick? Jesus died too, right? Jesus died too. So when the grave was open, whose grave was open too? His, right? Otherwise he couldn't come out. if his grave wasn't open, he couldn't come out. So the grave was open first. So he paid for what first? Your sin first. He paid for your sins first, right? That opened the grave. Thank God now we know how death and the works of the devil were destroyed, right? Now what happened? The Spirit of God raised him from the grave, right? So if you want to say that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you might as well just go ahead and quote the verse, right? Verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, listen, please, if this is true, that the spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you, then that spirit, right, will also quicken, give life to your mortal body by that spirit that dwells in you. Now, here's why it's important. If the same spirit, and what spirit are we talking about? The same one that's in the Father, the same one that's in the Son. Let's just talk about Jesus for a second, right? More. So what can hurt Jesus? Nothing. Is Jesus above death? Yes. Did he conquer death? Yes. Does death have any more hold on him? No. Tell me why. And the only biblical reason you can come out why is because of the spirit that's in him. Because the spirit is what? Life. The spirit is what? It's life. The spirit is life to Jesus. The spirit that is in him that he shares with the Father is life unto him. So therefore, he can show you pierced hands, right? He can show you pierced hands and holes in his feet, right? And still alive, right? With open wounds, yet alive. How that's called life. That's life that's dependent on not blood. That's life that's dependent not on biology. That's life that is of the Father, right? So we agree with that. Death has no more hold on him. Look at what your Bible says. So consider yourself or reckon yourself also indeed, dead indeed to sin and alive as well. Alive unto God. So you are just have the same life on the inside of you that he has. The same life that he has. So here's the problem with not understanding that you are united with the Spirit and that you are united with the Son and united with the Father. Not understanding that unity separates you and you think that Jesus has something you don't. Right? Because if you say, well, you know, I heard somebody say that, you know, that they were praying. And this is actually true. Somebody that had been diagnosed. This was a praise report that was given that somebody had been diagnosed with a lump in their breast. Right? And they just began to think, and they were hearing a preacher, and they said, you know what? Does Jesus have a lump in his breast? Does Jesus have cancer? So as he is, so am I in this world, and I have no reason to accept cancer in my body, right? And not long after, they were healed, right? And people will say, well, but here's how we say the opposite. When we want to excuse behavior, we say, well, I'm just human, or that's just Jesus, you know? And we're talking about even his earthly ministry, right? His earthly ministry. We talk about his earthly ministry and we say, well, Jesus did that because it's just Jesus. So you separate yourself. You separate yourself from the Father. You separate yourself from the Son. And you say, I am me, and they are they. And they are divine, and they can do all these things. And they have the Spirit of God on the inside. And they have all this power, and that's why they can live there. But I'm just stuck here, and this is the lot that he dealt me. So this is what I got to deal with, right? But what have we done? We've separated ourselves when Jesus did what? He reconciled us to himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So we have been reconciled to him through faith, right? We have been reconciled to him through faith. We have received the same spirit that they have, the same spirit that is life, that will give life to this mortal body. But you know why so many don't believe it? Because they don't know how that just worked. They don't know how that happened. They don't know where death was destroyed. They don't know where the life comes from. They think that it's God dropping down or doing things. You know, in other words, that God does miracles, right? If you say, you know, to the majority of the church, do you believe that God does miracles? Yes, yes, brother, yes. I believe that God does miracles. Okay, so how does he do them? Well, you know how the Lord is. The Lord is mysterious in his ways, and the Lord can just do whatever he wants. He's mysterious. You can't figure him out. Yet actually, the Lord says that I have given you my spirit so that you will know, so that you can have the mind of Christ. So that, listen, you know who doesn't know what their Father is doing? Or actually, the person that doesn't know what the Father, God the Father, is doing, you know what that person is called? A slave. Servants don't know what the father of the house is doing. A servant doesn't know, because a servant doesn't abide in the house. A servant has no right to be in the house. A servant has no right. A servant needs to be outside of the house, right? But what happened? He says, he made us sons. Sons, gave us his mind, right? Gave us his mind on the inside of us by the Spirit of God. The one who knows the Father entirely. And I mean, you have to agree with this, right? The Spirit that is of the Father knows the Father completely, right? Knows the Father completely. And he lives on the inside of you. So you have on the inside of you the Spirit of him, right? That's about as knowing as you will ever be, right? To have his mind is about as all the wisdom that you would ever have to receive in all this earth, right? I mean, we agree with that, right? You're never going to get a mind that is greater than the mind of Christ. You're never going to get anything greater than that, right? So you're never going to have the ability to know ever more than you know right now. So listen to why this is important, if you can just stay with this for a second. So he says in verse number 11, let's read that again. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by that same Spirit. Listen, I know that it takes time and listening to be able to know these things and to acknowledge what it is that he's done. But listen, here's what I'm asking you, please. Don't wait in your life until you find yourself in a position that you think is bad enough that you need to listen now. Listen, if you accept right now, if you accept arthritis, if you accept boils, if you accept big growths, if you accept cysts in your body, if you accept all of these things, if you accept things, sickness and disease and flu and cancer, and you accept all of these things, listen, what hope is there for an individual that accepts all of this death and thinks that it's all normal, and then one day, what happens? You get a horrible report, something that is going to kill you quicker than the other things were already killing you, and now we decide that it's time to begin to listen. And you know what? It's awesome. You know, if that's the day, right? If that's the day that we're in now and you just heard that report and you're going to make up your mind to listen today, that's great, because today is the day to listen. But what I'm asking you is, let's not be that kind of people, right? That we wait until something bad happens to then stop then thinking that it's important to listen now. What you're hearing, can I tell you something? What you're hearing right now, today, you will not hear out of the mouth of anyone for the rest of the day. You won't. You won't. You won't even talk about it among your family unless somebody brings it up. And you begin to talk about the truth and open up the word, the Bible, and begin to speak the word of God, right? So what I'm telling you, here's why it's important. The Lord goes through so much to be able to get things together for us to hear. I just encourage you in this, continue. Continue to hear, because it's not something that you will commonly hear today. I pray to God that the day will come where this type of conversation, if we can call it that for right now, this type of conversation will be prevalent in your homes. This type of conversation will be prevalent among evangelists, among teachers, among churches. I pray that it would be even commonplace on TV, that you could at any point just turn on any Christian teacher and hear how Jesus has conquered the death and how you have the right to live. Let me explain something to you in closing here. Right, you have been made righteous. You have been made righteous. So here's why that's so important. Because the fact that you have been made righteous, you have to understand this, you cannot lose your righteousness. So you have on the inside of you, death overcome. Here's where we stand today. This is the grace in which we stand today. Today, right now, this very moment. If the Spirit of God is in you, here's what's going on in you. The grave is open. Death has no hold on you anymore. Right? Death has been overcome. You are righteous. So that means you have the right given to you by God to everything that's on the inside of you. Now watch this now. You have life in you. God has given you the right to all of that life on the inside of you. Righteousness, right? What's missing? Why then? Why is the church suffering so much? Why? We have the life of God on the inside of us. We have been given the right. Righteousness, which is the way that we have, which cannot be taken from us, to receive everything that is of God. What's missing? What's missing? And I'll close it with this. This is the answer. This is the answer to that question. What is it that's missing? Well, this is one of the answers, but I'll just give you the one. And this is because this is something that might sound familiar to you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. And we're going to read verse number 1 to verse number 5, and we're going to close right there. I believe that that's good. Right, you've been given the right. So that means, listen, that the Lord says to you, you know what? I have an open door policy to my life on the inside of you. You have access to all of my glory within you because I have made you righteous. Why? Because I became sin, Jesus said, right? I became sin so that you might become the righteousness of God. So how was it that Abraham was said to be righteous? Abraham was said to be righteous by faith. So you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you that is life, the same life that will quicken your mortal body, right? Right? So you have that on the inside of you. The life, in other words, the flow of life, the spring of life on the inside of you. Life on the inside of you could spring all over you right now. It could spring all over me and go all over you at the same time, just from me, let alone what's on the inside of you, right? Now you have that. Now you have righteousness too. Right? So if you have righteousness, the Spirit in you is life now because of righteousness. So that means that on God, please understand this, that as far as God is concerned, nothing, He is not standing in the way of anything. You do see that, right? God is not standing in the way of anything. He already conquered death, gave you His Spirit, made you righteous. So that means that the Spirit, for all intents and purposes, can be life to you all day long. All day long, life, just oozing out of your eyeballs, your nose, your mouth, your ears, out of your skin, right? Watch, because this is going to sound familiar. Your shadow can touch someone and what can happen? Your shadow can touch somebody and they can be healed. You know what that's called? Life oozing out of you. Your shadow touched somebody, right? Oh, but that's just Jesus. Just only Jesus can do that. The shadow of Jesus, the shadow that we're under, can do that. It was the shadow of a disciple that did that. The shadow of a disciple that has been made a son just like his father. A son just like his father. Ladies, do me a favor. Don't not call yourself a son. I'm a daughter of the... No, you're a son. Son means you're like your father. Son is not male. Son means you're like your daddy. That's what that means. I'm like my father. The Bible, it says son, so that means I'm like my father. I am a son of God. I'm a child of God, right? We don't have to add words to make it popular for everybody to read. It says son, I'm a son. I'm like my father. Every time you read son, you say, yes, Lord, you've made me just like you. I'm united with you, together, one with you. Listen, so he says, if you then be risen with Christ, which we talked about that already, we can't go into that more, right? But if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things then which are above, which are actually the heavenly things that are on the inside of you, right? So he, you know what he says? The answer to what's missing, right? The Spirit is life because of righteousness, and you got it. Death has been conquered, done. So you got two major things off of the checklist. The last thing, there's only one more thing on the checklist. And you know what it is? It says receive. How do you check that off? Seek then those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on these things above. Set your affection on heavenly things, not things on this earth, because the things on this earth is what chokes your affection. Not having things on this earth. You could have a Mercedes Benz and be full of the Spirit of God and always have your mind on the Lord. It's not the Mercedes. It's not the $1 trillion house that gets in the way. It's the affection of those things. It's the seeking constantly of the, it's not having them. Have whatever. It doesn't matter. That's not the point, right? But look at what he says. Set your affection on these things above, not the things of earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So here's the answer in verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life, the Spirit is life because of righteousness, right? When Christ, who is our life, who's on the inside of you, right? Me and my Father will come make our abode in you, right? By his Spirit. Christ is in you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear or shall be manifest, shall be seen, you can see him. You can see him, right? You can see him. How can you see him? You're seeking. You're seeking what you have in you. Jesus said, I will reveal myself unto them. To them that believe, I'll reveal myself. I'll manifest myself to them, he said. That same word, I'll manifest myself to them. When Christ is manifest, then what? Shall you also be manifest or appear with him in glory? So what happens? That's talking about that day, yes. And it's talking about what also? This day. That's why it's telling you that the Spirit could give life to your mortal body by that same Spirit. That's talking about that day and this day, right? You're going to receive full life on that day. But here's how you know. The only thing that's missing, the only thing that's missing from that little equation, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You have life on the inside of you and you are righteous, which means you have a right now by God to have all that he has, to be as he is in this world. Then you know the only thing that's missing is what? Is to be able to seek those things. In other words, faith is what's missing. Faith. He says, those that receive the abundance of my grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. You want to know the will of God for you today in this world? For you to be able to reign in this life. To reign in it. To reign in this life with Christ. To reign. And to reign means that you're above all the things. So you're above everything. You ever hear somebody say, oh, I'm the head and not the tail? What that's saying is you're above everything. You're above cancer. You're above death. You're above all of these things. You're not beneath them. You have been lifted above them. You're not beneath them. You have been lifted above them. But you can't just, listen, it's not just good enough to say that. You can't just say, I'm above them. Like you get something going on in your body, you say, I'm above them. I'm above cancer. No, you have to know, what did Jesus do for me? And by righteousness, the right that you have, say, thank you, Jesus, that I have been given the right to receive life from you. All right? Death has been destroyed. I have been given the right and received the life of God. Knowing why he did it, who he did it for, how it works, why it's yours. You have the Spirit. He destroyed death. You can receive life to your mortal body. That's how you receive it, you know. Grace and peace, everything that's been freely given to you, is multiplied. That means it's given to you over and over and over and over again. Is it grace and peace are given to you in the knowledge of Christ, in the knowledge of God, right? Knowing him. So now you see, why is hearing the most important thing? And that was the verse that we closed with. He said in Galatians chapter 3, he said, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now trying to be perfected by the flesh? You know what he's telling them? You heard, you believed, and you received the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Why would you think that you're going to live any other way? That's why the church doesn't understand why the Lord says to live by faith and not by sight. You know what living by faith is? Living by hearing, because that's where it comes from. You can't live by faith if you don't hear. Living by faith is not just saying stuff over and over again that you heard somebody say. Living by faith is not just coming out of here and say, I heard Pastor Jose said that the Spirit is life because of righteousness, so I can just keep saying that. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's not what that is. It's just continuing you to hear. And you yourself will come to a full assurance of faith where somebody's going to tell you something and you just know. You know how you know that? I can tell you right now. I'll go up to your face and tell you, you are not saved. Right? And you can stand up right back in my face and say, yes, I am. And I know I am. And you ain't going to take that from me. Why? Because you know. You know you're saved. You know the Lord has shown. You know that He reveals that. You know that you have the Spirit of God. If you came in here and said, listen, none of you are saved, and that stuff that you heard about the Spirit of God living in you, that's not true either. Why are you not going to buy that? Because you know. You know, right? That same assurance you can have about all things. The same assurance you can have about all things. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for continuing, Lord, to assure your people, Father. And you assure us, Lord, by teaching us. You teach us, Father, by your Spirit, and you assure us. You assure us, Lord, so that no person, Father, no person has to be, Lord, no person has to be neglected, Lord, but no person has to be absent of any of your power. You said, Lord, that you made all of the things, the taking and the receiving of the things of your Spirit, you made them by faith. That it would be by faith, by the knowledge of you, by hearing. By hearing comes faith. And you made it by faith so that the promise of being able to inherit the things of the world. Lord, I pray that you would remind them and they can go home, Lord, and they can read after they read John 17 that Pastor Mike gave them. They can continue and read Romans chapter 4. Father, thank you, Lord, that you gave them a promise, Lord. You gave them a promise, Lord, that they would be also heirs of the world was the promise. And you said that you made it that it would be by faith so that the promise would be sure to all of us. So that the promise would be sure to all of us, that it would be by faith, Lord, that it would be, Lord, by faith through grace, that the promise would be sure to all of us. Thank you, Lord, that you made it that it would be that way because all of us, Lord, all of us received your righteousness through faith initially. And it's that same exact faith, that same exact seeking of God, that same exact hearing of faith. That's why it's called hearing of faith. That same exact hearing of faith, Lord, that will give your people in this room right now the ability, Lord, to be able to experience, Lord, miracles and miraculous living, Lord, supernatural life above, Lord, the common, everyday, earthly sin and death things of this world. You made us for that, Lord. You made us for your living. You made us for life. You made us, Lord. We have been made new creations in Christ Jesus. You made us that way, Father. You didn't make us to have to walk beneath everything, to struggle in everything, always, Lord, struggling financially and struggling with our health and struggling with pain and struggling with all kinds of things, Lord, in our bodies and in our lives and in our relationships. We were not made to be that way. We've been supplied everything by your Spirit through the finished work of the cross and the receiving of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that now we declare this. Your Spirit, Lord, and your Holy Spirit, you'll continually bear witness with this thing on the inside of us, and you'll continue to teach us until every single person in this room is certain about this truth. Your Spirit in me is life, because you have made me righteous, because you became sin, so that I could be made righteous. So I thank you, Jesus, for what you finished. I thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Father, for reconciling us unto you. And thank you, God, that I don't have to ask you to heal me. Thank you, Lord, that you already, Father, put life on the inside of me. You gave me everything, the right to it. You gave me life by your Spirit and the right to access it through faith in Jesus. Jesus, you are our access into the grace in which we stand. May we continue to hear. And I promise you this. I promise you. Thank you, Lord, for promises. I promise you this. If you continue to hear, if you continue to hear the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done, you will experience more and more and more life. More and more life. It will never stop. It'll never stop. Just I pray this. Just you don't stop. Continue. Continue. I pray continue. Don't stop. Everything in this world is working against you to try to get you to stop. You don't have to listen to any of it. None of it has any power over you. You have all everything open for you. No hindrance. That right there will stop right there. There is no hindrance right now stopping you from listening to Jesus. There is no hindrance right now stopping you from receiving. It's just your hearing. So thank you, Lord, that you once again, you substantiate the one thing that we should be doing. Listening to you, Jesus. Listening to you, and it will be life unto us. We'll see it. We'll see it happen. Thank you, my God, for fruitful lives and the lives, fruitful people, Lord, and all that they have been doing then, Lord, is just listening to you. listening to you. In Jesus' name, we love you, Father. We praise you, my God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.